Now, I'm not talking about abuse. I'm just talking about discipline. You're big. You're intimidating. You look kind of strong. He might think he can take you, but one time you pick him up and hold him up here, and he knows he's outgunned. All right? And you walk him into the room with all of the dignity and all of the quiet control and without anger and wrath and just say, here we go, son. Are you ready? Here we go. You're not going to talk to your mother like that anymore. And give him a few on a bare hind end, not through a diaper that's 3 inches thick. But what I'm trying to say is children are their oppressors because the children don't think you got anything left. Why? Because the women rule over us. Fellas, we need to realize we need to be men. And what she's telling him is that her first concern is that she or he might be ruled over by women, and the only one who can really warn him in a clear fashion is the mom. Because she can walk aside of all that feminine allure and look at him knowingly and say, I love you so much, I need you to know women are dangerous. Or they can be the most awesome thing in the world to your life. And he's going to get to that in the second half. But the first thing I want you to recognize, I was putting it in a mind way that I could understand. You know, these guys who are over in Iraq and Afghanistan, you know what they're up against, don't you? They're called upon as soldiers to do what? To protect the Iraqi people. But they're also told to what? Fear them, because you never know who your enemy is. They're all dressed alike. And every man needs to look at women like that. You're there to protect them with everything and every fiber of your being. Some of them are pitiably caught up in the power thing, the power trip. Eve was promised, you can be like God. And women arrive on the scene and they come into their own as young ladies at a yearly age. I remember thinking, what was God thinking when he made girls grow up at age 12 and 13? There they were, grown up. But God knows best. And they were sober too, you know. But the reality was that they grew up and they were bequeathed with power. And I remember as a kid, a teenager, probably ninth grade, there was a girl in the neighborhood over there who grew up. And I remember we were playing one summer and having fun. And the next summer it was like I was standing there like this. I'm not kidding you. She came up to me and she went like this. She went, What's wrong with you? I said, what every guy said. Huh? Do not give your strength to women. And at age 12, 13, or 14 years of age, this girl knew she had come into her own and she had a magic wand. And some women are waving that magic wand everywhere they can, and what they end up doing is they find themselves painting themselves into a corner, and they're miserable because they weren't made to be God. They were made to be good. Women have a propensity for goodness that is just amazing to me. When you smile, when you get down on one knee and you appreciate a flower or you touch a little baby's face. I was told this morning my wife was looking at Trisha's little girl, and she just laughed, and just big old laugh and smile at Linda. Kids know at the earliest age that the beauty that women possess is powerful. Have you ever thought about creation? 6 days God created the heavens and the earth and all that was in them, and on the seventh day He rested. Do you realize that when He was all but done, He said one thing was not good, and it was that man should not dwell alone. That was not good for man to be alone. So you know what He did? In one final stroke of genius, He just splattered beauty all over the canvas. And He brought forth a woman. And she became the center of His world and His universe. And now there's 3 billion of you. I want you to understand that you are so profoundly created for good. that when you look at your baby on your knee, like Moses' mama loved him, and when he came into Pharaoh's court and came of age, he remembered the words his mother taught him. Those are my people down there. He went to see what was going on. And then as because his mother had built into him some semblance of understanding of the God of the universe, he chose rather to suffer reproach than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He said, my mom told me that we were a people God loves and cares about, and God spared me when he had no reason to. My mom told me that. You have propensity for good, but you have equal propensity for devastation. She says, son, listen to me. Don't give your strength to women. The wheels are off and the brakes are out, folks. With pornography today at an all-time high in its thing. I heard yesterday on the radio that the largest users of pornography are between ages 13 and 17. The boys are completely outgunned. They have no idea what they're doing. And if you don't protect them, and if you don't show them that they are in danger, that it's like the Iraqi world, that some of them will destroy you, but one, you just find that one, she'll make you more than you ever thought you could be. Don't give your strength to women. That was her first concern. Before Israel was carried away into Assyrian captivity, God said children were their oppressors, women ruled over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. The word lead is literally they that walk thee. You ever seen a man being walked? You ever seen a man being walked? They're picturing it in those Home Depot commercials. You've seen them. The guys are walking. The wives are all intentional and big. What is it? Being a God is being in control, isn't it? The women are in control and the guys are just saying, oh. They're still saying, I don't know. Care about your sons enough to tell them and warn them as a woman, don't give your strength, your firmness, your stability, your potential to women. I guarantee you that if you aim at the right thing, you'll find the one that God wants you to make your life with. All it can be. Verses 4 through 7 addresses the place of virtue. You know, 2 Peter chapter 1 says, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. The first thing that you have to do after you get saved is start behaving yourself. Well, I don't want to. Well, maybe you didn't want to be saved because being saved means getting free from sin. So I never wanted to be good. I didn't sign up for that. Now he says, no, add to your faith virtue, because everybody knows what basically good things are. And to your virtue, knowledge. So once you get your virtue and you get your goodness going, which you know you need to do, then add knowledge, and knowledge will keep you because it'll bring you into self-control. Look what it says in verse 4. It said, it is not for kings, O Lemuel. Every man ought to underline that verse because that's you. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Now, folks, what she's talking about is being good. I realize we live in a day of licentiousness and people will raise their hands and say, what's wrong with drinking? I'll tell you what's wrong with it. The Bible says that those who were in the priesthood were not to drink when they did the ministry of the tabernacle. And God said this. He said that we might put a difference between the holy and the unholy. The Bible tells us very clearly that we're not to be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Our problem is, we like to create vacuums. Well, I know I'm a Baptist and I just don't drink. Well, that isn't it. You know, when you're getting a bunch of good Spirit-filled joy out of God, you don't need that. You're lit up. Your joy, your song, it's not dependent on some superficial thing that's out there. A drug. And she tells him, be careful, be virtuous. Why? And how does that work? He says, don't drink wine, don't drink strong drink. And she tells him, there's a use for that. And he says, when somebody's going to perish, you get the word, you know you're going to die, you probably don't have long. Go ahead and give them some morphine, if you will. Give them something to numb all the pain. Ethel Lee is going through a difficult time right now. And all I could think of, I said, yeah, we actually laughed about it. I said, you've probably been telling, just give me drugs. Because she's in pain. And there's a time for that. I told you the story about the dear lady who was in her late 80s. And she was just as frail and feeble. And she was in a nursing home and it was difficult for her. And Linda and I thought we were going to perk up her day by visiting her. And we got a bag of those little mini mints. You know, the little dark chocolate covered mini mints. They're great. Amen. What am I going to do? So we took them in there. And this lady, I'm telling you, she's in a wheelchair. She can hardly move. I said, Mary, we brought you a little something. And I put it on the edge of her tray there. It was on her. And her hand moved quicker than my eye could watch. They were gone. I said, honey, I did put them down, didn't I? Yeah, they were there. They're gone now. What? I came out later and I found out I wasn't supposed to give her. She's diabetic. She could have gone into a coma. And I made my mind up right then and there. If I'm 84 and I'm a diabetic and I could die of a coma, give me mints. Because I'm going to go out happy. Can I get a witness? There's a point where you just give them some strong drink for this difficulty of pain and knowing they're going to die soon. And it's not strong drink. That's what they had for their medicines. And you and I know that there are things now that we could take to inoculate pain. So virtue means being able to handle your world. And drinking here is synonymous with an unhealthy fascination for self-satisfaction. We live in a day where nothing your eyes desire is withheld from you. You want a gaming system, you get it. You want the newest clothing, you get it. You want the nicest car, you can get it. You want the biggest house, you can get it. You want the biggest lawnmower, you can get it. You get the best power tool, you can get it. You can get it. You can get it. You know, back then they didn't have much to choose from. As far as drinking is concerned, they could drink water and milk. Warm milk, by the way, which, yuck. But they'd drink it. Or they could have wine and strong drink. So it was sort of like they would take the grapes and they would squeeze them and that juice would ferment because it would sit for a while. They would actually add water to it to kind of, it was their pop. It was their soda. It was their beverage that was kind of a little bit of a moment of pleasure for them. It wasn't about drunkenness. She's saying be careful about an over-emphasized pursuit of self-satisfaction. You're a king. You are a king or queen of Narnia, if you will. You're a king or queen of God. And you are dignified. And you need to not give yourself over to chasing every pleasure. The Bible says the eyes of men are never satisfied. Realize that. You'll never be satisfied in this earth. So just come to terms with it. And don't keep trying to satisfy. Get your eyes on something better. Be virtuous. In verse 4 to 7, he talks about the whole idea of that over-fascination, unhealthy fascination with self-satisfaction. And what she's doing, in essence, is she's telling him in those verses the importance of being moral. But next, she tells him the importance of being, or the essence of being manly. You want to know what the essence of being manly is? Well, she's going to tell us. Verse 8 says it this way, "Open your mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such, as all are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy." She says the essence of being a man and being manly is a person who will be willing to protect, and that's the key word here, protect those that can't protect themselves. Now, folks, that means you're going to protect the girls that are virtuous, who are up against it, and the ebb and flow is telling them, go the way of the world. Put yourself through college by dancing somewhere in some club. And you'll get an applause because the brakes are gone. And because the training wheels are off. You're applauded for your foolishness in this day. And women are being lured and told again, you can be like God. And you know what? They find out they got the one. We talked about it. He's saying here, she's saying to him, be manly. How do you be manly? Protect those who can't speak, who have no words. You know, there are people in this country that don't realize that they're just cranking the engine fires of this nation up to the devastation and destruction. Some of us in the room see it. It's on the handwriting's on the wall. Children are their oppressors, and women rule over. This country's out of control. We did the National Day of Prayer was here this past Thursday. We met together, and I kind of was able to videotape some of the stuff that was going on. And you know what? In the National Day of Prayer, they had women praying, and they had women speakers. The military had a man. Our country is out of control because our men are being led around by their women. They don't speak. They don't have words of their own. They don't have the convictions the Word of God gives in a large scale. So the character is brought into question. Do you remember back in the days, perhaps you are a fan of that gal who writes those books years ago, Sense and Sensibility, Pride and Prejudice? She got it really well when she was depicting the romance. What was the role of the woman? The role of the woman was to assess the character of the man. That was her role. The man kind of come up to the bar, established himself, made himself a good man, and when he wanted to dance with her at a ball or something, she would be trying to assess his character. They don't care about your character anymore. They want to know what car you're driving. They want to know if you'll serve them for a while. They'll use you and then they'll abandon you. It's all different now. And so men don't have to come up to the bar, and women really don't care if you do. He's saying, be careful, Lemuel. You want to be a king toward God, a king with God? What you need to do is you need to be moral and you need to be manly. And being manly means you're going to speak to those, for those who are mute. You're going to protect the vulnerable at all costs. That means you're going to vote, fellas, when you can vote. That means when you're at work and they're saying something stupid, you're not going to be the one to say, well, I'll just stand over and keep my mouth closed. There will come a point where you'll need to speak when you can. Because you can't just stand and be silent. The only thing necessary for evil to triumph in a country, good men to do nothing. Well, good men are doing nothing today. We see in this passage that she says he'll speak, he'll protect the vulnerable at whatever it costs. And next, it says verse 8 further, he says, and the cause of all such are appointed to destruction. You know what he's saying? She's saying to him, get a cause greater than yourself. You see, the wise man walks with his eyes in his head, and they realize that every man, woman, boy, or girl is going to stand before a holy God one day. The only thing that will give you lift above the mundane and the ordinary is recognizing that you're on task for God, you are a soldier of Christ, and people are going to go to hell because they're just be perishing for lack of knowledge. You're going to determine to equip yourself, get God's Word in your heart, and you're going to go out there and be a conqueror. You're going to speak for those who have no words. You're going to give them chapter and verse. You're going to rescue those who are devoted to destruction and doom. Do you know what? Every person you meet is either going to heaven or hell. Every one of them that's going to hell needs to be rescued in some manner. Have a higher cause than yourself. She says, get a higher cause. She says to him that you need to open your mouth for the dumb in the case of all such as are appointed to destruction. You say, well, I got things to do, people to see, games to play. Fine, you can do that. That's the drinking of wine. You're like the guy playing around the table saying, I'm just living large and living it up. And that usually equals wine, women, and song in some measure. She says, don't go there. It's not for kings. Verse 9 says, open your mouth and judge righteously. Underline the word judge, because you're being commanded by Scripture, and this woman understood the dynamic. You are supposed to be a judge in your world. You are supposed to have an opinion. God looks for people in the world who have an opinion that is based upon His Word. You know, we got the world quoting Scripture to us, and we don't have enough Word under our belts to understand the thing God wanted all through Israel was somebody to understand. He told Daniel all about what was going to happen with Israel because he just wanted somebody to hear it. He says, it's coming. Now you go tell them. He told Ezekiel, they're going to have face. I'm going to make your face like a flint because they're not going to listen to you. But you go tell them. You make the judgment. You tell them they're wicked. You tell them they're wrong. Now, folks, listen, the reason people are going to hell today in mass, in droves, bulldozers fully, hell having had enlarged itself is because nobody is saying something's wrong anymore. I said last week, and it's this whole day of the fairness doctrine makes me worry about what I say because we go on the internet with stuff and somebody come back and say, well, he said this. It's not hate speech. We're just saying some things are wrong and some things are right. And God has made me tune it up. Do you know fornication is as wrong as homosexuality? Come and get me. Both of them will lead a man to destruction. Both of them are the outgrowth of lust unbridled. That's Scripture. The Bible says no fornicator and no abuser of themselves with mankind will go to heaven. They're both in the same category. They are. So if we play the game and we start to get used to the fact, like the frog in the kettle, that living together and having relations outside of marriage is okay, and then we start looking for, well, eventually we're going to be like the world is. The only virtue or the only unvirtuous and detestable act today is pedophilia. And it's not long, that rainbow you see that people go about, that one of the stripes of the rainbow, they want the transgender, they want the gay, lesbian, transgender, and even those who are pedophiles.